I hope that you know the words to that hymn, Sweet, Sweet Spirit, or There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. The churches of Jesus gather for the presence and the sharing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not work in isolation, and the Holy Spirit does not work alone. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We have an affirmation of our faith, this one from Colossians in the first chapter. "Be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The reading of God's word for today is from Romans chapter 8, and I might note that the little title above chapter 8, the little titles throughout your Bible are not actual scripture. Those are placed there by the editors of the Bibles to help us who are reading. But chapter 8 is entitled, that little title is Life Through the Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul is going to address that topic in this chapter. And the verses we look at today, verses simply 12 through 14, because there's plenty there. "Therefore, brothers," we'll talk about it in a moment, why he addresses brothers instead of children or brothers and sisters. "Brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Why sons? Because in the ancient world, the sons inherited the father's lands. And so the Apostle Paul is declaring that we all, men and women who live in and by the Holy Spirit, will inherit the father's lands. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. To bring you up to date, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the life of the Jesus follower. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. I mentioned Max Lucado's book entitled Help Is Here. Help Is Here. It's a book about the Holy Spirit. That's one of the provisions of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides you and me with help. This help comes in several ways. You may remember, the Holy Spirit works in more than one way. It's a good gift, it says in Luke. It's a teacher, it says in John. A reminder, it says in John. A counselor, a helper, also in John. A comfort and encouragement in the book of Acts, a revealer, revelation in Ephesians. It renews in Titus. It sanctifies, is sanctifying, Romans chapter 15. It directs, it leads, it moves, it speaks. Those are all from the Gospels. The Holy Spirit is available to you in more than one way, and the Holy Spirit is available for more than one purpose. I believe, Max Lucado suggests, that our own closest experience with the Holy Spirit is like unto a marriage. Just as the longer you are married to your spouse, the longer your relationship with the Holy Spirit may move from teacher to encourager, from leading you to reminding you. Early in your marriage, your spouse might have told you a few things. You might remember those days. But years later, your spouse only needs to remind you of something. Early in your marriage, your spouse may have had to teach you a few things or direct you in some task. Later in your marriage, your spouse needs only to encourage you and comfort you about those same tasks, saying, "You can do it. You can do it well." The Lord's Holy Spirit is wanting to be in touch with you in many ways. And notice all the different ways that you can attend to the Holy Spirit. Notice all the ways you may need to be open to the Holy Spirit. Max Lucado suggests the word sensitivity. Early in your marriage, you may have had trouble being sensitive to your spouse. Years later, it's second nature to be sensitive to your spouse. My older sister has said more than once, "Why would I want a different husband? It's taken years to train the one I have." And so it is with the Holy Spirit training us to walk in the Jesus way. 2 weeks ago, I began the sermon speaking about spiritual reality. There's such a thing as spiritual reality. To put it in another way, what we call reality is what we can see, hear, touch, taste with our senses, but that does not give us a complete picture of reality. We are created body and soul. Spiritual reality may not be available to our senses. Jesus said more than once, Our Lord said more than once, those who have eyes, let them see. Those who have ears, let them hear. Fully functional physical organs are not enough to be able to see and hear Jesus. I mentioned 3 weeks ago the disciples themselves were in moments with Jesus right in front of them, yet they were blind to Jesus being right there. So the Holy Spirit helps us bridge the gap between physical reality and spiritual reality, and the Holy Spirit does so in ways that are not easily observed or easily heard. King David, whose words were quoted from Psalm 51, King David completely missed the Holy Spirit's leading the moment he stood on the palace roof and saw Bathsheba without her clothes. 2 Samuel 11. And the Bible does not report David praying in that moment. David might have asked the Holy Spirit to avert his eyes. David might have asked the Holy Spirit what he should do. No. David, a married man, has sex with Bathsheba, who is also married, and all before the end of verse 4 in the same chapter. He just saw her in verse 2. It will require the Holy Spirit speaking through Nathan the prophet to get King David to see the error of his ways. We have to assume that King David, in the moment of opportunity for King David to betray his God and betray God's people, David ignored the Holy Spirit. Elsewhere in the Bible, we are told it is possible to resist the Holy Spirit. So we return to Pastor Belz's phrase, whose book I quoted before, "You and I are working to make the Holy Spirit the dominant influence in our life." And as Max Lucado has written, "I believe our relationship with the Holy Spirit is an experience of a relationship like unto marriage." If there's a human relationship like unto the relationship of Holy Spirit and Jesus follower, it's marriage. And in marriage, time is required for the relationship to become what it can become. Just like any marriage takes time for two people to make their marriage what it can become. It takes time for us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit's guidance, the Spirit's leading, the Spirit's encouragement, the Spirit's counsel. And just because you experience the Holy Spirit a certain way, or you have experienced the Holy Spirit in a certain way in the past, remember our Lord Jesus' words, "The Spirit blows where it will." The Spirit may choose many different ways to make the Holy Spirit's presence and the Holy Spirit's guidance known to you. The Holy Spirit is free. I told you before, I had an experience with you in worship. My youngest had done something that really bothered me, but forgiveness hadn't even been on my mind. But sometime later on a Sunday morning, and we are all praying the Lord's Prayer, and I actually said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our daughters." Had I not prayed this prayer correctly hundreds of times? So I concluded the Holy Spirit overrode my words, and it was time, and probably past time, for me to forgive my youngest. And I did forgive my youngest daughter. That was the Holy Spirit also. In my so-called error of reciting the Lord's Prayer, I may have said the Lord's Prayer wrong that day, but I fulfilled the Lord's Prayer correctly and forgave my youngest daughter. Again, returning to Max Lucado's book, Help is Here. I like the title of his book, published while I was on vacation. Who wouldn't like this title? Help is Here. Help for you. Help for the church. This is a book about the Holy Spirit in all the functions and ways of the Holy Spirit of God. The intention of the Holy Spirit is to help us in the churches. I remind you, the Holy Spirit does not work alone. Max Lucado's book reminds us that God doesn't just feed us, God leads us. God does more than correct us, God directs us. How many times do people believe that God wants to keep us from doing wrong? Okay, yes, God also wants to lead us in what is right, to walk the Jesus way for our benefit. Max Lucado points out that the Bible makes more than 100 references to the Holy Spirit, and Jesus says more about the Spirit than he does about the church or about marriage or finances or the future. These sermons want to keep you open to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit can be pretty freewheeling. If you think the Holy Spirit wants you to think outside the box, you need to understand that for the Holy Spirit, there is no box. Look at the ways the Holy Spirit is pictured in the Bible. A dove. Have you ever directed a dove? Have you trained homing pigeons? Wind? No one directs the wind's directions. Fire, one of the real problems with fire, a fire that is out of control. Talk about an out of control situation. It's the fear of every firefighter, fire and wind. But we need not fear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is help, a helper for you, for the church. The Holy Spirit is not under our control, but the Holy Spirit is dedicated to God's will. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as being with you and for you. The Holy Spirit is more for you than you yourself are. Remember King David and Bathsheba. Nathan the prophet was saying through the Holy Spirit, King David, it's time to face reality, the reality of your sin and how the Holy Spirit was available to help you, but you chose not even to ask the Holy Spirit. Notice again Psalm 51, are they King David's own words? Verse 6, indeed you, O Lord, are pleased with truth in the inner person. You will teach me wisdom in my inner parts. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. There is another reality. Face reality. God is here to help you. The Holy Spirit is an inward experience. David's song to the Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. Despite my sin, David is saying, forgive me, restore me, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. David calls out in verse 11 of Psalm 51. David wants to face again the reality of God in his life. For the Church of Jesus Christ, Pentecost is the reality that God is now here with us. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul proclaimed, the gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. Now, is it power to transform and change immediately? Or is it more like the power to run a marathon? We've been discussing this power as a part of our ongoing relationship, so we want to think more in terms of the power to run a marathon. You've seen photos of marathon runners. They're so thin, they look like they're not healthy. And yet they probably eat a lot. But their bodies are mostly muscle and burn calories efficiently. You don't see the power, but the power is there in the body. You don't see the power of the Holy Spirit, but it is there. Can it be said that your marriage is powerful? Your marriage will help you? I had a professor say once that once you were married, you could have a good and true and honest relationship with the opposite sex because the boundaries are set by your marriage. Of course, he said that 45 years ago. Evangelicals worry about opposite sex relationships. Is it because their boundaries are weak? Weak in their marriage? Or is it because their marriages are not powerful? I'm only asking the question. But I suggest there is something to relationships and power as there is with the power of the Holy Spirit and our relationship to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present in you and in the church, the power of the Lord's Holy Spirit to help us all as Jesus' church. The Apostle Paul reminded the Jesus followers, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Experiences of the Holy Spirit in American churches have focused on ecstasy, ecstatic experiences, being slain in the Spirit. But these are personal experiences, and they may edify the individual. But what is intended is the common good of the whole church. What have I tried to teach you? I have the Holy Spirit. And your response is, and so has everyone in the congregation. Therefore, there must be some testimony or sharing by way of the ecstatic experience which would edify the whole church. What could it be? I can't say. The Apostle Paul had an experience of the third heaven. He shared that experience in word and in writing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul concluded, we've been speaking in Christ and all for your upbuilding, you beloved. All of it for your upbuilding, you who are beloved of the Lord. You see, the Greek pagans had their own ecstatic experiences in their worship, but it never benefited all the people. But the Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many. Not seeking my own advantage, but of many. The gifts of the Spirit, the varieties of gifts, and the varieties of service are for the purpose of building up the whole church. Not just those who have received particular gifts. The gifts are for service for the whole church. Paul stated, I don't seek any advantage for myself, but the advantage of many. One could claim that much of the letter of 1 Corinthians is leading up to chapter 13, often called the love chapter. And there the apostle mentions gifts of the Spirit, speak in the tongues of men and angels, prophetic powers, faith that moves mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. I can't help but ask. Ever hear someone running for elected office say that? I have no recollection of it. But it's in your Bibles. And the great Apostle Paul, church planter, spiritual giant, defender of the faith, missionary to the whole Gentile world, Paul said it of himself, I don't seek any advantage for myself, but the advantage of many. If I don't have love, I am nothing. Nothing. I don't recall too many television preachers use that verse of the Apostle Paul, and I never heard them quote it for themselves. It's possible I missed a lot of their programs on purpose. But these false shepherd American preachers and pastors forgot Paul's words if they ever read Paul's words, I don't seek any advantage for myself, but the advantage of many. And if any are gifted with the Holy Spirit and don't love, they're nothing. I have to go on about this because of American Christianity and American values of bigger and better. Notice how we always put those words together. Nobody says bigger and worser. And it's not because all of us speak good English. Remember, even Jesus doesn't want fan clubs. Jesus wants followers. Jesus wanted followers. Jesus still wants followers. Television pastors and preachers basically have fan clubs. And they all send their dues money in. The false shepherds lost their ordinations if they had them. The Apostle Paul didn't want a fan club either. What did the Apostle Paul say? I follow Paul? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul didn't want fans. Paul wanted Jesus followers. I don't want fans either. The Holy Spirit will not help any fan club. The Holy Spirit is for the upbuilding of the Jesus-following churches. 1 Corinthians 12, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The common good of Jesus' churches. Amen.